put your head, son, it only take a second.
Check it out now.
Well, come on, while I wreck it, like I said, hold your head, son, it only take a second.
Check it out now.
I want to personally thank Sam Hankey for his contributions over the last 3 years and say that without question, he has positioned us well for the future. With a roster of young and developing talent, cap space, and a significant amount of draft picks, we are truly thankful for what he has done, and I'm sorry that he's leaving.
Yeah, too bad there was no way to keep him. Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, brought to you by LL Pivorsky Jewelers, where Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged, 707 Walnut, always at llpivorsky.com. I am Spike Colangelo, along with Mike Colangelo and Tanner Colangelo. Welcome.
Big day.
Big day. Holy smokes. What a press conference. So it's been a while. Oh, wait. Okay. Wait. See, I don't have my list in front of me, so yeah. I don't know what we normally do. All right. Top of the show. First of all, we are on Stitcher and iTunes. If you listen to us on iTunes, please rate us and leave a review. The lottery party, as we mulled about last time we spoke, is happening.
Yeah.
It's
going to happen.
It is more important now than ever.
It might not be a lottery party and more just like a hug party.
Yeah, with the lottery in the background.
Yeah.
And as I was telling Mike earlier, look, if we get the number one pick, we're all going ape-ass anyway, I think. But so here's the point now is that everyone thinks that we all dissipate into nothing. And no. When you push a nerd cult into the corner, that's when the nerd cult fights the hardest. So
nobody puts nerd cult in the corner.
No, absolutely not. So the lottery party is happening. It's May 17th at Xfinity Live. It is 6 to 10 p.m. There will be enormous, amazing LL Pivorsky giveaways. We will outline those during LL's commercial in the middle of the podcast, but they'll be amazing. Parking is only free if you download the ticket on this post at rightstorickysanchez.com or xfinitylive.com. Otherwise,
how many people have downloaded the ticket so far?
About 600 so far. So we're not putting a cap on it, but, well, I don't think we're putting it, but there's a Phillies game that night. So if you don't download the ticket, parking won't be free. Of course, you can take the Broad Street line as well. And now there are two T-shirts.
My mom was worried there would be a cap on it.
As far as I've been told, there's no cap on it.
Okay.
So I think... If it got to the point where they had to think about putting a cap on it, they would be so excited that there were that many people there that I don't think it'll be a problem. So, and now there are two T-shirts. There are two official lottery party T-shirts, right? There is the first one with all of the names on the back. And by the way, we are adding Sam Hinkie's name to the back of that T-shirt. So the image that you see online is not the final image. Sam Hinkie's name will be last on that T-shirt. And of course, now we have the new Sam only T-shirt, which is available, which has the Obama'd Sam picture, and it has the quote from the 13-page letter that says, what,
one part courage,
two parts patience.
Yeah.
And then it says 2016 Rights to Ricky Sanchez Lottery Party. So they're both available at Cheesesteak Tees. If you, there's a Rights to Ricky Sanchez section now of Cheesesteak Tees. So
yeah.
That is, and you don't have to pay shipping if you just pick it up at the party. So.
Which, and you also get to meet us if you
go to the
Liberty Ballers guys always, hand out the shirts, and it's a nice way to introduce yourself.
Well, and here's the other thing. And just so you know, if you get it shipped, you're not getting it this week. They're not shipping. I told them not to ship them until May 1st. So if you plan
to
gotta
wait until
party,
at least the season's over. So make sure.
Well, and also, I just pick them up at the party. Just pick them up.
Come
at
to the party.
All right. So we have a lot to talk about, right?
We also just came from a Sixers game.
Yes. Me and Mike and Tanner. And we saw it. And Derek sat with us for the second half. Derek Bodner. It was a predictably blowout, then close, then loss for the Sixers.
Yeah, very typical.
There was nothing more predictable than tonight, the end of tonight's Sixers game.
Yeah, I mean, it's the last home game of the season.
Yep.
Let's ride it out with an old favorite.
Yeah. Tanner caught a t-shirt. Mike tried to catch a t-shirt and ended up sitting on my lap.
Yeah. It kept drifting in Tanner.
There's Tanner nothing cut. Mike needed more than a double XL Sixers, white Sixers
I wouldn't, t-shirt. I didn't know. It could have said nothing on it. It could have just been an undershirt. I would have wanted it. Someone throws something at me, I'm excited about it.
You got to catch it.
Yeah.
With a giant Jefferson Health logo on it. So, yeah, I don't even know what to say about the game. There's nothing to say about the game, right?
It was fun. Some people played well.
Yeah.
Robert Covington got hot a little bit, shot a lot.
I think he shot 17 threes.
They missed a whole bunch of open looks.
Yeah.
Nerlens put up stats, started caring later on in the game, didn't for most of it.
Yep.
TJ's the best player on the team.
Yep.
Hollis had a clutch three. Clutch Hollis.
You know, it would have been clutch if one of the 18 other threes he shot would have gone.
Well, that's the thing is people say he'd only hit shots when it doesn't count. And, you know, you got to take what you can get. 40%. That's all that matters. 40%.
I have no idea how it's 40%.
40 every time.
Tonight's only the third three I've seen him hit all year.
Oh, come on. Stop it.
And what else happened tonight? Nothing else.
I mean, Elton Brand didn't shoot?
No, not at all.
It was a pretty MCW didn't play. Like it was everyone's playing out the string. But it did become exciting.
Jabari Parker yammed on Nerlens.
Yeah. Jeremy Grant yammed on some folks.
Yep. Jabari Parker, we were saying as I watched, I had no idea he could yam on people at all. I think that's the second time I've actually seen him do
You've
that.
You overlooked that kind of stuff because you don't like him because he's fat.
Because he's chubby.
He's done that a bunch. And he does do that.
Does he have long arms or short arms? Do you know? Do you remember?
Longish.
Oh, really?
Not crazy wingspan, but not short. Not Stauskas wingspan.
I just look at him thinking, what the hell is he? I don't even know what he is.
I think he does.
No, he doesn't.
He hit a bunch over Jeremy. Yeah. He hit at least two threes tonight.
I don't know about tonight, but I don't know how many threes he shot this year.
Is Tanner our stats guy? Tanner, Tony Reale?
I would say fewer. Yeah. At the end, Tanner's going to say what we messed up, and it's going to be a whole other podcast.
Okay, great. It's just going to be Tanner speaking dully into a microphone. Okay, no, that was wrong. That was also wrong.
Okay. So what... I feel like how many... Oh, do you have his stats for this year? I'm not talking about tonight. I'm talking about this year.
He was 2-for-2 from three tonight.
Okay. But what about this year?
From this year, he shoots... Yeah, not well from three. Okay. 23%.
And on how many attempts? Probably not many. I don't know.
Tanner didn't give me all the information. Okay. I'm just looking at a few.
All right. Anyway, so the key... All right. So we have... I feel like we got to talk about the most important thing first, and then we'll back up to the letter rather than being... Right, because the press conference was today.
Yeah, we can't just go through the week.
We have to talk about the letter. We'll talk about the letter later. We'll talk about the amazing. I honestly, the biggest story for me for the week was Woj's turn on the Colangelo.
Oh my God!
Huge heel turn.
So surprising.
You do not double cross Woj.
No.
And give ESPN the 13-page letter. You don't do that.
Oh my God!
But the big
what
story,
a vindictive guy. All right, we'll get to it.
But he's the best. Because he is...
He's the ultimate, you know...
Woj.
Fate decider.
Yes. And he is always Woj. There is nothing... He never strays from his brand. He knows what his brand is.
Yeah, that's the thing is I don't think the media should matter as much as they think they do, but they end up mattering that much because people put stock in that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and... Well...
Like, Woj is, listen, other people are doing the stuff. Woj is just saying that it's happening.
Yes.
Theoretically, first. He's just like, hey, did you hear this happened? That's all Woj is.
Well, it becomes sort of self-fulfilling. Once you get that big, then you end up controlling it whether you're doing it or not.
Yes.
You know, because he has so many eyes on him. I think the most interesting thing about Woj, well, no, here, just to back that up a little, it shouldn't matter, but if it didn't matter, if all of this stuff didn't happen, then the sports wouldn't be as big as they are, and there wouldn't be as much money. That's part of the, you know, the non-game stuff, especially in the NBA, is such a big part of the NBA anyway.
Yes.
If there wasn't Woj tweet, like if they didn't have the free agency thing and the trade deadline, then it would just be basketball.
Yeah, but there's like, I mean, you know, Woj is in another stratosphere, right?
Yes,
like if there's just, you know, there's, you know, the first like beat writer not from Philadelphia that comes to mind is like Gary Werfel, who's from Milwaukee. And like he like hears a rumor or two and he says a thing and there's like whatever from Chicago. Everybody has like the little like, hey, everybody gets a kind of toss scoop. Woj has the huge ones and I feel like he bullies people more than necessarily the... why are you looking at me like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's great. If I came in having never known anything about sports and was just like, wait, this... like. The executives are like afraid of this guy. Like he's not. It shouldn't be this way, but it is, and he controls it in a way that you know helps his brand.
I used to hate it, but he is like the ultimate like heel, like writer heel.
Yeah.
He's the greatest. He wields so much power. It's amazing.
That's unreal.
All right, but the big thing today was first the announcement, which came on Twitter just moments before. So the buildup is that everyone is like, you know, they're ready for the 2:30. Josh Harris press conference. And the first person that notices, I saw Derek tweet out, there are only two chairs at the table.
Yeah.
So everyone's thinking,
man,
who is it?
The reports on the chairs of how many, it's always such like a, okay, yeah. Here's where something's about to happen.
Well, and everyone was assuming it was Josh and Brian Colangelo, but what went through my mind was, if it's obviously Josh Harris, there's no way he's just going up there with Brian Colangelo, right? Jerry's got to be there.
Yeah.
Or so my first thought was that there's no way it's Brian. It's either Jerry or Scott O'Neill or David Blitzer
or Brett.
Like, there's no way. And then moments before the release comes out that Brian Colangelo is president of basketball operations, and then Brian Seltzer, the team reporter, spits out there before they got up there.
Jerry's gone.
That Jerry has stepped down his post and he's just an advisor.
Yeah, he's gonna, you know, and he feel like he did a good job.
No biggie.
He feel like he was just like ready to, you know, he was here for what, almost 4 months?
Yeah, he just, you know, he got in here, he assessed the situation, he interviewed what? Only one person, right? Because if
he was recused himself from his son, I couldn't do that. I'm not involved.
He was like, guys,
let me just interview this racist.
Yeah.
And then, well, you know, he's not the guy. We don't want a racist.
Oh,
my son is the only other person to interview.
That's a whole other thing. I don't think Danny Ferry's a racist.
But he kind of
Said something vaguely racist on a phone call that he didn't think was being recorded.
Sure, but whether or not you listen, the difference between saying something into the world versus saying it to yourself is stupidity. It's not levels of racism.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's a whole other podcast.
Sure.
I think there are things that are like, oh my God, that guy's a racist.
Yeah,
and then
of course.
There are things like,
there's levels.
Yeah.
But he's not great.
Well, but he might be a great guy that just said something.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's
racist.
Like everybody's like weird aunt who's like, oh, you don't listen to that. But like, you don't want him running your team either.
I don't know. You think? Just because he said, but what he said was, Luol Deng has a little bit of African in him, right? but everyone knew what that meant on the call. I wouldn't even know what that means until, so it just, something tells me that's something that those guys say.
It's not, listen, just because people say it doesn't mean it's good. Anyway, this doesn't matter.
There are a lot of people that are African that aren't black, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so.
You think that's what he meant?
Maybe he's talking about Charlize Theron.
That's probably
She's
it.
South African, isn't she? I think.
She is. You're right.
And he was like, she is beautiful and she was great in Reindeer Games.
What he's saying is Luol Deng is beautiful and should be in the next Mad Max.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So Jerry claims, and by the way, Peter Vesey tweeted earlier, we noticed as we were walking up here, Peter Vesey tweeted that right after the Sixers hired Jerry Colangelo,
yeah.
Jerry said to Peter Vesey said, how long until Brian replaces Hinkie? And Jerry Colangelo says, I told them to hire Brian 3 times, but they wanted me. So I'm sure he had nothing to do with this at all, right?
He's an honorable man.
And
with
then,
honorable intentions.
And there's and you know what? A lot of things bother me over the last few days. The first thing that bothers me, as we're talking about this, is so Hinkie steps down, and who from the front office, who, anyone, owners, CEO, chairman of basketball operations, whatever the fuck that title means, obviously nothing, we found out, who talks, who says anything? Anything about the fact that not only the general manager and president of basketball operations, but probably the most divisive figure in professional basketball, not only in the last 3 years, but probably over the last 2 decades, right? I can't think of another front office guy that was argued about as much as Sam Hinkie was. So this guy steps down via 13-page letter. Nobody says a fucking word.
Yeah.
And they leave Brett Brown out to talk about it, which,
yes,
by the way,
is exactly what they criticized Hinkie for 3 years.
Right, right. And Jerry Colangelo, I'm going to be open. I'm going to talk to everybody.
The culture is going to be out there.
You're always going to be able to find me.
Come to
bag.
Phoenix. I'm golfing. I'm taking long lunches. Here I am.
Seriously, call somebody. And I know we joke about the Skype thing all the time. If you don't want to fly here, have a Skype press conference where people can can ask you questions.
Flights are expensive.
So then within an hour, we get the report that Brian Colangelo will replace him. And automatically it becomes, and I think we'll easily be able to separate this. Honestly, in this entire thing, the guy that bothers me the least is Brian Colangelo.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, in reading that Woj piece, it was,
yes,
you know, he said like, I empathize with the guy. It's like he had a couple shots places. He did some good things, some bad things. and now he's just like, I want to get back in there. I didn't get this Brooklyn Nets job. I kind of, the only GM job is to work for my fucking dad. I bet he fucking hates his dad.
You think?
I bet he hates his dad. He's probably just like, you fucking old shithead.
There's so many things we could, there's so many like, look, my dad didn't hire me.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't hire me. But I mean, you know, you here's what I will say is that, let's say Jerry Colangelo, just the idea of your father being that close to it mm-hmm. is a shitty thing to have, not a shitty thing, but is something to have to deal with.
Yeah, you have right? to like wrap your head around it. Yeah. Like, do I really want to work for my dad again?
Right.
Take over the family business in every business. And it's not just sports where like you know, people are born into advantages.
Right.
There are plenty of people that I work with that are somebody's daughter or son or brother or whatever. And that's just a thing that exists. The problem is Sixers ownership doesn't have to just kowtow to the like Colangelo brand. Cabrangelo.
Right. And what we find out later is that, you know, basically the only people they were looking at was Danny Ferry and Brian Colangelo.
Well, upwards of 70.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I got an email from the best part about where we are now is that fans just send me stuff.
Yeah.
Like they just, so I got an email conversation between a couple.
It's like, I'm sure, like Sarah Koenig and Serial. Like people yes. just like get like, here's yes. stuff. Here's yes. like information.
Yes. I mean, well, because you get known for something at a certain point. Yeah. And then we're like.
People want to expose stuff.
We're the Woges of the process.
We're process Woj.
Yeah. And here's another thing, by the way, that I've noticed. And I think I'm ready to take credit for it.
Okay.
Everybody refers to this thing as the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of us.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's weird.
And
it's because of us, like via Pablo, which like opened up the floodgates.
Yes. Well, yeah. Pablo had I went back and looked. It was Tony Roten that said, trust the process in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But without, and Pablo, you know, was the first positive national writer of this, I think. But mm-hmm. without us doing all of this, it wouldn't be called the process.
Yeah. No, it's fun.
Yeah, it's good. The greatest. So I don't even know where we were.
But with that comes the responsibility to like bring the hammer down.
Yes. So Brian Colangelo, we can make judgments about. He has enough of a resume for us to make judgments.
He's
about.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's not. Listen, I think he's done like him bringing Sport VU to Toronto.
Yeah.
Is I think cool.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool thing, and that shows a progressiveness that most basketball guys don't necessarily have.
Right.
He's middle of the road. I think, in terms of, you know, if you scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being the best GM, he's probably like 60, which is fine. There's
yeah.
You could do so much worse.
We were saying last week that there are probably 5 really good GMs in the league. There are probably 5 awful GMs in the league, and everyone else is just a GM. And that's why you can go through pretty much everyone's draft record and find mm-hmm. even David Kahn drafted Kevin Love, right? And he drafted Ricky Rubio. I mean, they're yeah. both good players.
Yes.
You know, you could find. And I love that everyone's touting. I mean, again, not to get it, this isn't the Brian Colangelo podcast, but everyone's like, you know, he drafted Jonas Valanciunas. It's like,
okay. At like 5?
Yeah.
That's fine.
And didn't he stay overseas for 2 years, by the way?
No, he came over right away.
Right away? First year? I don't think so. Oh.
Tanner's going to find out.
Okay, all right. But whatever. Yeah, you don't get drafting Jonas Valanciunas is fine.
The tough thing is that, like, you know, when you look back at a GM record, you just look, okay, everything is hindsight. Now let's look. Well, Hinkie passed on Giannis, and well, so did 15 other people,
including Danny Ainge for Kelly Olynyk. By the way, yeah.
Giannis was a real upside risk. He was playing against nobody. You didn't know how he was going to develop. He grew 3 inches. Like, he's great. I would love to have him, but I don't begrudge people for passing on him that early, especially
go
for
Sam.
The. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna. I was gonna liven it up with a clip from Josh Harris.
Go. Right, let's hear it. Come on.
Both Sam and I, and kind of others, recognize the need to add talent to the organization. We've always been upfront about wanting to do that, but when it came down to it, we couldn't agree on how to do it. and who the right person was.
Let me tell you, the only way to add talent to the front office and keep Sam Hinkie is to not add somebody that A, is at his level, or even arguably at his level. This is not Sam Hinkie being an egomaniac or a control freak.
No.
There is no manager of anything that would allow you to bring somebody in at his level. And by the way, that doesn't even really exist, because how does that even, who makes the trade?
There's no co-GMs.
And then if that guy is Jerry Colangelo's son, how would you ever get your way?
No, right? Never.
So I can't tell whether I don't believe them that they thought Sam would stay, or whether they were dumb enough to think that that was a possibility.
I think there's no way they were that dumb. I think they're just really like pushing it, like, listen, we can't go back from this. It's like saying, like, you got caught cheating and just saying it wasn't me. It's Shaggy all over again.
We've been waiting for Shaggy.
It's a re-Shaggy.
Yeah. So here we go again. Here's more from Josh Harris.
It would not have been fair to Brian or to Jerry to involve Jerry in the discussions with his son.
So what was he involved in then?
I don't know.
What was he doing?
I don't know.
The Ishmith trade?
I can't even make anything up.
So he's gone. So he's left. So his entire...
So Sam and Jerry, this whole thing that we were worried about, like, okay, can they coexist? I was saying it's a value add.
Yeah.
If he's there as an advisory capacity, then great. Then we'll be able to, whatever, he'll talk to people, massage it, he'll mentor Hinkie in some whatever basketball sense way. And now they're both gone.
Right.
And now the narrative is, well, Sam, we wanted Sam and Sam didn't want to work with us. And that's just patently false. Like, he stuck it out. He tried to hang out. Woj's article just pretty much... Woj's face turn for Hinkie was really good.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about it. If you haven't read the article, you should read it.
Yes.
Because it really digs into this tremendous, not only nepotism, but just like headlessness of the Sixers front office at this time.
Well, and it makes it look, honestly, it makes it look like the guy that spearheaded it was, if it wasn't Jerry, it was Scott. O'Neal. I mean, that's essentially what it looked like. It was that he was the one doing the interviews, because if Jerry wasn't doing the interviews and Sam wasn't doing the interviews,
Sam didn't know about it.
Yeah. And Josh Harris did. Oh, wait, just to back it up. So the person that sent me the email. So there was somebody, a listener of our podcast, who had purchased season tickets in the risers, by the way, $5,000 a ticket or whatever it was. They spent at least $5,000.
Big money.
And when this happened, they emailed their ticket rep and said, we want out, you can keep our first payment. So as the ticket rep is trying to keep these people,
that's cool,
they say that
I didn't know that.
They sent me they said you can even keep the first payment. Now the Sixers ended up not keeping the first payment, went back and forth, and essentially it was like, look, if you can't do this, it was like trying to quit AOL back in the day. It was like
trying to quit the gym.
Yeah, it was like, look, if you can't do this for me, please find somebody who can. And in the exchange, they were like, you know, they didn't just settle on Brian Colangelo. They considered over 70 different people for this job.
Yeah.
Mike, I ask you, in a 30-team NBA league, is it possible if you're if you take away general managers that are under contract, is it even possible that there are 70 people to consider for this job?
No, I can't even name 70 people. The only reason I name 70 people is because I've seen the Hinkie shirt.
Right.
I can name 99.
People total.
People total.
Just people. Yeah.
That's it. I don't know anybody else.
So somehow that list of 70 got down to 2, or what did Josh Harris say today? Very few?
Yeah,
or
very some, not many.
Some, not many.
Yeah, that was Derek's question, right?
Yes. And by the way, here's another thing. Everything leaks out. So if all these GMs, they have agents sometimes. Mm-hmm. If somebody had been interviewed by the Sixers, legitimately interviewed,
Something would have leaked. There's no reason the assistant GM on the Hornets wouldn't have been like, their agent or whoever wouldn't have been like, hey, let's talk you up like you're a candidate so you get put on lists and stuff. There's just no reason to keep that quiet.
So the two people they looked at,
70-2, it's a little bit of a margin error, that's fine,
was Jerry Colangelo's son, one, and the other guy was somebody that they interviewed before giving Doug full power 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So some guy that they already talked to.
Yeah.
So those are the two.
It's a big, I mean, you know, that's you canvass north and south, look around for any rock, any tree.
Look, Jerry Colangelo is a snake, but you can't blame a snake for being a snake, right? And that's what Woj said in his piece, is that, you know, he's learned how to manipulate people and be powerful and blah, 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 blah. Who you can blame is the owners of the team,
yeah,
who either... And that's the other thing about Hinkie's plan, is that it isn't as if he only has this one plan, this yeah. one thing he can do.
He didn't come in and was like, yo, we have to tear it down. Everything's got to go. We're going to lose for 5 years, and then maybe we'll be good. You guys got to listen to me.
I'm sure they said, what is the best way? If we want to do this right,
yes.
what is the best way to do it?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, the only way you're going to get checked. So they were in on this with him.
It wasn't Hinkie. What's the word I'm looking for? He wasn't like tying them down. He wasn't like strapping them to the table and saying, no, you have to do this. They were complicit.
You're making it sound sexy.
It is sexy. It was a sexy rebuild. And it would have been, and now we got some old balls on it. And then he left.
Yeah, and then he left. And then he left. So he is, and I find it humorous that all of the media people who yeah. were getting their sources, all basically the same thing about how Sam Hinkie was a piece of shit.
Yeah,
are going
no
to,
communication.
Are going
none.
To, going to cash in on none of
well,
them.
Well, I think it's a little naive to say that since Jerry is now special advisor, he's not going to still be involved, or at least like say shit like he's involved.
Right, right.
He
right.
probably still think he has the final say. So, if you asked him who's got final say, he's probably like, well, me. I mean, you know, I'll be around sometimes. I'll be, you know, I'll be at strip clubs and I'll be, you know, endorsing anti-choice candidates and it'll be great.
You might be wondering, for Josh Harris to do all of this, did he lose faith in Sam Hinkie? That would have been so good.
We didn't really lose faith in Sam. We spent, you know, many months chatting with Sam about how to move the franchise to the next level, and we felt that we all agreed that bringing in talent to make the organization better, to allow us to build stronger relationships in and around the league, to allow us to build a winning culture, you know, bringing in someone to help lead the organization. We thought, we all agreed that those were good things. We couldn't agree on how to do that and specifically and who the person was. And so Sam decided to leave.
Yeah, simple as that.
That's all that happened.
That's all that happened.
They couldn't decide on it. They were like, look, man, we have a real reasonable thing. We're going to demote you, bring in a Jerry's son. We think this is like sort of a normal
thing. It's fair. It's a normal thing to do in business.
We're totally shocked that you want to leave. So then, lucky for Josh Harris, who, by the way, looked like completely shell-shocked.
Oh, he was in bad shape.
Had no idea it was coming. And to his defense, all he heard from these writers, from everyone, is get rid of Sam.
Get rid of Sam.
Just get
He's
rid of Sam.
He's clueless. What are they doing, including your dad,
yep.
for a long time?
Yeah.
And then your dad in this press conference kept taking it to him.
Yep. We kept taking it to and everyone. Gonzo was taking it to Josh Harris. I couldn't really hear the voices. I assume Derek asked questions.
Hard. Yeah.
And Josh Harris just looked like
he was like, why? It's not fair to ask me these questions. He was like, come on. We, you know, Sam left. We didn't do anything. Why aren't you to believe me?
It's a new day.
Yeah.
We have. Look at all the Colangelos we have.
Well, we lost one.
Yeah. Well, he's still around.
He's going to.
Old
you know.
Balls. So I don't even I
don't want to make fun of Josh Harris's voice too much, but he really sounds. I mean, it's exciting to now get to like just lean into the fact that he's a business bro.
Yes, he is.
And like sounds like he's just, you know, yo, we're going to go sled on the quad. Like that's him. And now we don't have to like defend him anymore because like they fucked up and now they're bad.
Yep.
It's a total
Jerry
heel
is an asset and a talent and someone that we were very excited for him to be part of our franchise. He's really an advisor to the ownership group. This was about giving us all the best possible chance to win a championship.
All right. And finally, this is the last Josh Harris thing I'll play.
Dude, Racanati.
Here comes another lie. Josh, was there any pressure from the NBA to abandon the plan that you had for 3 years with the guy who you believed in? that was about to turn a corner.
None of that's true. I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to work with Jerry Colangelo as an advisor. It was sort of a no-brainer to get someone like that to advise you after who had 50 years of basketball experience. I took a step back and said, believe that we needed to add talent to the organization. Started very broadly. And guess what? I'm now lucky enough to be working with his son, Brian Colangelo. Brian reports to ownership. Jerry advises ownership. You know, feel free to ask Adam Silver, but there was no pressure from the league to do anything.
Hmm. Guess what? That was good. I just like, and guess what?
I, you know what? I don't even know if I don't believe that. I just know there was clearly pressure from Jerry Colangelo. I sort of think if Jerry Colangelo wasn't going to be the advisor, they wouldn't have even known who else to. Because remember, they were going to hire this, and the only person they could think of was Danny Ferry or Jerry Colangelo's. Like, Jerry Colangelo wielded so much power because there's no way they could think of anyone. They were. I actually don't think it's crazy that they would have called Doug or Rod Thorne to be an advisor.
Yeah. Aren't they still? I mean, anytime anybody got fired, it was always like transitioning to an advisor, consultant. Advisor. How long do those contracts last? Is Julius Erving still an advisor?
I'm sure he gets paid. I'm sure he gets paid. They trotted out AI again tonight, by the way.
Yeah, just for our benefit.
Yeah. So Friday was, and Scott O'Neill got the shit booed out of
him tonight. Yeah, Scott was introducing Joey Crawford, right?
Yes. And people booed incessantly.
Yeah, referee Joey Crawford, who's from Philly.
Yeah, Delco, actually. Delaware County.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he came out and started talking, and people instantly booed him. It wasn't me and Spike.
No. I mean, it would be a lie to say that we didn't join
in. We pleasantly, surprisingly joined in.
Yes. It was funny.
It was almost like the Vlade Divac from the lottery party. It's the opposite.
I'll say about this whole thing, because if you go and look at any Sixers tweet from the last 3 days, and all of the replies, not all, 85% of them are about Sam.
Yeah.
And we stand with Sam and screw you guys. And then Tom Moore does the poll. How do you feel about management? And it's like 85% negative.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek does the Twitter poll with like 2,000 replies. And by the way, you can only vote once.
Mm-hmm.
95% do not have faith.
Liberty Ballers did it 97%.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sort of in a place where I'm surprised at the number of people and the passion at which they've replied. But things like the booing Scott O'Neill and
came
the Tom Moore poll, there's more of us, not just us, but this whole thing. Like, people are more, even the people that weren't vocally supportive of this, were like, you know what, I'm not going to pay attention, and I'm not one of those fucking weirdos, and I'm not going to buy a t-shirt. But, this makes sense.
Yeah, because we know that we are still a minority of, in terms of the broadest sense of Sixers fans. There's casual Sixers fans that come to the game that don't know anything about the podcast or about Larry Ballers or whatever. They're just here to see the Sixers, and like, why aren't they winning games? But I think that if you did care even a little bit more, and whether or not you like spoke out about it, whether it's on Twitter or whatever, I think there was this national narrative about how there's all these Sixers fans who just have no idea what's going on because Hinkie's not talking, and they just can't tell, and they're all so mad about it. And everyone's like, think of the fans. It was all that. But like, there wasn't that here. I've talked to a bunch of people. You talked to a bunch of people. People didn't come to the games before, and they continue to not come to the games now.
Yep.
It hasn't really changed that much. And I think generally there was a sense of, okay, this organization knows where it's going, and it's going in the right direction. And now it's, well, dude, if you're going to spend 3 years on that, and now we're just going to say, fuck it, then they're pissed. It's a total deviation from the plan. And that's what the thing is, that people said that nobody knew what Hinkie was doing. We knew what Hinkie was doing more than any other GM in the history of this team.
Ever. In the history of any team. Honestly, I can't think of... He didn't talk a lot, but when he talked, he wouldn't give you specifics about who you wanted to trade for.
No, but, because you can't do that.
But he was always very clear. And if he wasn't clear enough, there were plenty of people that wrote about it that were like, this is exactly what's going on. You could have a problem with what he was doing,
sure,
but there's no problem with clarity. Their first marketing slogan was, "Together we build."
Yeah. It was... In the same breath, people are saying it's a bald rebuild and it's a bald tanking job, but also saying, how he's never talking. How do we know what he's doing? And it's only because of beat writers that didn't get things on the record, and your dad, who didn't get things on the record, who didn't like being like marginalized himself.
Yeah. Well, honestly, the national writers didn't like being marginalized either.
For sure.
Ken Berger didn't like being marginalized. Woj didn't like being marginalized. No. None of those guys did.
And it drums up a narrative, and all of a sudden it feels like it's a real thing, when in reality, everyone's just like, okay, yeah, it's going to take some time, but they've been bad for so long. We've been directionless for so long. And now it's like, look at all these, you know, we got picks, we got some young guys. Like, things are headed in the right direction. We know it's not happening soon, but it's getting there.
Do you want to talk about LL and then talk about Brian Colangelo and then the letter?
Nothing I want to do more.
Okay. LL Pavorsky Jewelers, for over 28 years now, has been your source for engagement rings from a man who, for some reason, is part of our gang. That's LL Pavorsky. LL Pavorsky Jewelers is at 707 Walnut, is always at llpavorsky.com. And let me tell you something. LL is the guy that you want to go to when you want to get an engagement ring or any sort of jewelry. Or if you just happen to be in Center City, want a bite of chocolate, and want somebody to talk to about the Sixers. So LL is a proud sponsor of the podcast and is having some major giveaways, by the way, at the lottery party. I'll tell you about those in a second. First, I want to give you his phone number. 215-627-2252. That's 215-627-2252. Now, Mike, as you talk about LL, I'll go find the giveaways for a second. Hold on. I have it on the... We're doing it from the studio, so I'm not at home with all my notes. Hold on.
And also no Rebel.
Yeah, no Rebel.
Tanner, could you bark for a sec?
Yeah. Bow wow.
So here we go. So he's giving away a lot of things. First of all, for the first 250 people that come up to LL's table at the lottery party, you are going to get a gift bag that has a 100, how many dollars? A $100 gift card to Xfinity Live, right? See, I'm reading as I'm trying to.
Yeah, I know.
It has a $100 gift card to LL Pavorsky Jewelers. We're going to give away one prize an hour, basically. You have to go over, register at his table. He's going to give away a 36-inch black pearl necklace that is valued at $525. He's going to give away a $250 gift card to LL Pavorsky Jewelers. He's going to give away a pair of 1-carat diamond earrings that every woman would love, valued at $1,600. And Mike, if that wasn't enough, LL is going to give away the first ever...
And only, because it's over.
Yes. Trust the process ring. That's right. A diamond custom TTP ring. The T, and the P will be encrusted in diamonds. A value of $2,500 at the lottery party. That's all because LL is all in on the process. He's all in on the Ricky. And if they get the number one pick, if the Sixers get the number one pick, LL has an extra prize for you. So if you need an engagement ring, LL is the guy to go to. Again, 707 Walnut, llpavorsky.com, 215-627-2252. LL Pavorsky Jewelers.
Fire Jerry Colangelo. Sapphire Jerry Colangelo.
Oh, come on. That's a great one. Did you just come up with that?
Yeah, I was just looking up terms of jewelries. And that's what I was doing while you were doing that.
Terms of jewelries.
That's all I got.
What'd you think of the letter?
Oh, I loved it. Man, honestly, it does what most Sam Hinkie things do. It either makes you hate him more or makes you like him more.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was an insight into the way he thinks about thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to remember that it wasn't necessarily, you know, I think the idea that he didn't think it was going to come out, I think is a bit naive. I think he probably was like, this will probably get out. And if it does, then, you know, hopefully I look decent. This is the defense of the process.
He process. Almost seems too smart to know.
Yeah, I think it was just like, okay, yeah. But it also is for hedge fund people. He's speaking in hedge fund speak. And that's not how most people write. I mean, he's a damn good writer.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff in there.
I think Rich Hoffman said, look, if you hate him, it's going to make you hate him more.
Yeah.
And if you like him, you're going to love the letter.
Yeah, there's so many gems in there.
It's the greatest. There's so many quotes in there. Yeah. I feel like I wish my Twitter profile had room for 1,000 quotes because I would put all the quotes in there.
Someone needs to go in there and find like the just perfect like 10 to 15 phrases that we can just chant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really long chants.
Yeah. Really long ones. What's the flightless New Zealand bird, the moa.
Yeah. And it, the best part about that line, it was like the moa was having a jolly old time running around or whatever the hell he said.
It was great. It was really good. I think...
And he took a shot at Scott O'Neill.
Yeah, he did. Well, I didn't read it as a shot at first, but then people called it out as a shot.
It was a shot.
Yeah.
He said, when the Sixers are playing deep into May, nobody will be better at separating people of the Delaware Valley from their wallets.
Yeah, like, it's not exactly like a big praise of what kind of job he does.
No.
I want to talk about Sam Hinkie's like Q score, like his likability for now, in terms of like why people... He's a polarizing guy, like you said.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people, and not just like sort of lazy mainstream people, people that we respect, I think, that don't like him and that think there's a lot of like smartest guy in the room stuff that people were shitting on him for. He's not that person. I think he's just a smart guy and thinks about things fully. Doesn't think every decision he makes is the right decision. In fact, in that letter, he says, like, yo, we have to make sure to think about the opposite stuff of what we're doing and make sure that maybe, you know, have a contrarian's viewpoint. Have somebody come in and say, is this the right thing? Is this commonly held belief something that we should honestly be going forward to? The idea that he's just this, like, snobby, you know, Danny Ainge is that. Like, Danny Ainge is a very good general manager who's, like, a very pompous ass. Sam Hinkie is like, hey, I'm just doing this thing. We have this plan. We know everybody else is really good at their jobs. So let's try to think. Let's try to zag. It's the same thing that Cuban does.
Right.
It's like, let's go in the opposite direction. Let's see if we can take the advantage that way.
And Cuban's polarizing too. I mean,
absolutely.
I was talking about WIP hosts to somebody the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about, you know, egos. And I said, well, you sort of have to have a big ego, because what person without a big ego, or what sane person thinks, you know what, I think everyone wants to hear me talk for 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, who, and it really, as it turned out, I wasn't even that person. I thought it was ridiculous for me, and I'm glad those people exist. You have to have that personality. You have to think what I have to say is that important, or else you wouldn't be doing that job. So I think there is a certain thing about being a general manager, about being somebody who, like Sam Hinkie is that if you don't think you're the smartest person in the room, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? Because then you're going to lose. You can't hard work your way out of
it. Playing scared, basically. Right. I mean, it's the same with any athlete, where it's like you have to think that you're one of the best players out there. You have to think that you're able to make every shot.
Yeah. I don't think he talks the way he does. And by the way, when he gives press conferences, I don't think he talks over people's heads.
No, not at all.
I don't think he's condescending.
No.
The letter was ridiculous, but I don't think he wrote it to show everyone how smart he was.
No.
I think he was just like, I actually think there's probably part of him that enjoyed writing it, because he got to put what he did in context.
He got it off his chest.
It was finished. Whether he was done doing it or not, he was finished with it.
Yeah.
So he got to write his report on what he did. And I think he probably enjoyed doing that. And maybe that's naive of me. And again, I don't think that means he doesn't have a big ego, but I don't think that ego got in the way. You know, I don't think that
he
was
He certainly
the point
doesn't have a bigger ego than anybody else. And that's the thing. He's like, hey, I'm just going to try something different. And I think ultimately this came down to, here's a smart guy who believes in numbers, who tries to take this thing, basketball, that, you know, seems so simple. And, you know, it's our childhood. And we got there and we just grit it out. And, like, whoever wants it more takes it. And he's like, well, let's think about it in a bigger picture. Let's try to say, like, can we try to find the competitive edge in any other way possible? Let's really like think about it out and make sure we're like everyone's sleeping correct and eating the right things and everything is thought out from top to bottom. And people got insecure about that. It made them feel shit about themselves that like he's like, hey, I'm doing this thing, and then like, no, fuck you, man. Like you, and it just became like Deadspin jumped on him for it. People at SB Nation jumped on him for everywhere. People were just like, you know, there's people, it certainly has his supporters with us and with people that, you know, Matt Moore and Zach Harper and Pablo and Seth Partnow and all these guys that
are
say
in
like are in the middle. Yeah. You know, Matt Moore doesn't agree with the Embiid pick. I disagree with him on that. But like you can say like, hey, what he did was good. And I think that he's smart and I think that he deserved to see this through. And for me, it's like look yourself in the mirror, man. And that's what Hinkie does a lot. He looks himself in the mirror and he says, like, am I doing the best job? Can I be doing this any better? Whatever. And other people, I think, are just running with the narrative that other people have fed to them and are just like, yes, he wants to, you know, whether it's as dumb as he was losing so many games so he could have job security, which clearly not the case, or some closer to rationality, which was, well, you know, I just didn't like the guy. He was a shithead. He didn't think about, he thought of players as assets and didn't realize that they're real people, which is wrong, which is just like,
yeah, and he's
not the case.
He never referred to an actual player as an asset.
And he also never said, trust the process. Like, he's not like that guy just being like, all right, trust the process, you guys. Yeah, listen to me, nobody else.
That's us.
It's a funny thing.
Yeah.
You're buying into the narrative that people that are pissed off are spoon feeding you.
Yeah. You know what we should do?
Listen
next
to
week?
Our narrative instead.
Yeah, yeah. That we're spoon feeding.
Yes,
you.
Here it is.
Right
open
here
wide.
On this podcast. I think next week we should do a one podcast, but two halves. First half is we do our season review, right?
Okay.
We do our awards, we do our grades.
Mm-hmm.
The other, shouldn't we do, now that Hinkie is done, and I know that you can't judge at this point, this mm-hmm. pick or that pick, we should do a review. We should give him a grade.
Yeah.
I feel like we should look back at the 3 years and the good things and the bad things mm-hmm. and sort of wrap up the era. I think everyone, right? I mean,
good.
That would be fun, right?
Yeah.
A little closure to it.
Great idea.
And as Derek said tonight, you know, if people with the Sixers think this is, look, I'm going to move on in a sense that when the draft comes, I'm just going to look at who they pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do draft podcasts. All that's coming. You know, the first half of Thursday night's podcast or Wednesday night's podcast when we were talking about not like following the Sixers or not doing the podcast.
Oh, we were sad.
Yeah, that lasted about, I don't even think it lasted to the end of the podcast. So we're staying there. But if the Sixers think that us bringing him up is done and this is going to go away.
Yeah, it's not.
His fingerprints are all over this. And if it's funny, I was with Cousin Alec, who was the turncoat on Friday night at the Knicks game. And we're watching him.
If I meet Cousin Alec, can I shove him?
Yeah.
I want to shove him right in the chest.
He's a very good kid. But we're watching he's my favorite person to go to a Sixers game with.
Okay, well, you just went with me and Tanner, so
yeah,
hold on a second.
Well, I mean, this is the first Sixers game I've really gone to you with. I went to that group one once, but that one was super awkward.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
It's all weird.
So we're sitting there watching Embiid warm up, and Embiid was having a particularly good warm up night, like corner three after corner three, you know, dream shakes, all that. And he's like, wow, look at him. And I go, wow, Alec, who drafted him? And he just sort of looked at me and I was like, right. When he is killing people, you know, if he plays and is killing people and Dario Saric ends up being a player,
yeah,
we're going to look at everybody with our fingers in the air, you know, Sam Hinkie tattoos on our chest. And reminding them who the hell made this.
Yeah.
And I think Brian Colangelo said today, and we can also do another podcast. I think we're going to have a sort of a big time between here and the draft where we look at what Colangelo's done and what he might do here. And I will look at that independently of Sam, right? We will look at it not independently of what we would want him to do, what we'd want Colangelo to do, but I don't even know what I was going to say. Brian Colangelo, I don't even know.
It's been a tough week.
Yeah, it has been a tough week. I don't even know.
We could talk about Colangelo. We'll talk about him.
We'll talk about him at some
point.
That'd
be great.
I don't know what to
Everyone's going
to
listen.
Yeah, some people
will tweet at us.
Sometimes you have good picks. Sometimes you have bad picks. His contract stuff, not so great, but we'll have that time. So
that's the thing is that, and I'm glad that they didn't just, I mean, they couldn't have done it, but I'm glad they didn't just gloss over it and be like, hey, we're here and, you know, it's been a tough 3 years, but, you know, going forward, things are going to change. And they did say, like, Sam set us up in a really good way. And people, you know, is it easy? Is it easier to win trades when you're not caring about the present? Probably a little. A little bit. I guess picks are easily valuable and you don't care about, you know, Thaddeus Young, you don't need him for anything on court. Yeah, but to dismiss it and say, like, it's so easy, like, it's this thing that nobody did. I mean, like, everything's hard in the NBA.
Yeah, well, you still have to do it.
You still have to do it.
You're shooting a free throw. No one's guarding you.
Yeah.
The guys miss them all the time. Even Steph Curry misses.
Things take a lot of balls. Like, he was going to pick Elfrid Payton in that Dario Saric.
He was just daring them.
And so he moved back one spot and recouped the first round pick that fucking Doug Collins gave to Orlando.
Brian Colangelo said today, this is one of the best jobs in the NBA right now because of how they're set up.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was bullshitting.
And I think there are people out there still, for whatever reason, and this is like the other day, occasionally I'll just get really hot on Twitter and just start like,
yeah,
just laying down some absolutes.
Yep.
And people that are just like, I mean, did a horrible job. He did a terrible job as GM. He failed. And it's like, no, look at where they were then and look at where they are now. And no rational human being can look at that and say, well, he really screwed him over. The idea of lost years and wasted years, we've talked about a lot. But if they were an 8 seed 1 year and then like out of the playoffs for 2 years and been like won like 30 games and 25 games, that would have been in some ways just as frustrating as this. Because you're in the middle and, you know, if you get swept in the first round, there's a ton of stuff that could happen. But there's a target on the Sixers' back because they were trying something different. And I just don't buy into this idea that there's one right way to do things and we have to do it that way. And if you're not trying to win immediately, regardless of what the plan is or what the hope is, then you're a failure to the league or a disgrace. Like, there's so much personal feeling that gets wrapped up into this discussion that it should really be boiled down to, look at other teams of where the Sixers were 3 years ago. It's a similar situation.
Look at Orlando from
look
the
at
same
Orlando
point.
Right now.
Yeah, and they had a 1 year head start, by the way, Orlando.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
I honestly
and didn't have the picks that they were. I mean, Hinkie turned like a -3 into like a +8.
Look at everyone before the season was jazz. I mean, I still don't know where that team is going to go.
Maybe an 8 seed.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still don't know what player's leap causes them to take a leap at a, you know, because they already have three guys on their second contracts. Alec Burks, Gordon Hayward, and Derek Favors are all on their second contracts. Who's you know, you think Brett Brown is the coach first game of next season?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he'll have a short leash.
Yeah.
I think he'll have a short leash.
I don't know.
I think they'll leave him in there.
That's the thing is that if Jerry Colangelo was just like, I just want to get my son a job. I'm going to weasel my way in here. I'm going to push this nerd out and I'm going to get my kid a job. I almost respect him more for it. I almost respect him a little bit. Just if he came out and said that, I was like, yeah, I did it. And now they're set up and, you know, they have a good team. They're going to be fine. He's a smart guy. He deserves another shot.
What if Jerry Colangelo just really loves his kid?
Which is nice. I'm glad he does. I'm glad he does. But
he just really loves his son.
Yeah. But
I can't hate on that.
You know, it's tough. It's just a shit. It's a big frustrating thing because they alienated so many people that will of course still stay in it. Like all the people tweeting at the Sixers are still watching the goddamn game or being excited about the draft or coming to the lottery party or whatever.
Come to the lottery party. Buy a t-shirt.
It's just everyone's frustrated because we were having a good time. Everyone else was hating on it. We were getting into our dumb arguments, but like we were excited about what the future held. And we still are to a large extent.
Yeah, we still have Joel Embiid.
We still have that kind of stuff. We got picks coming. But it's just frustrating because the people that they listened to ultimately were the national media. And that's sad because they were talking about the fans when the fans are here. And they're not upset. We're still fine. You weren't selling tickets before.
We're upset now.
You're not selling tickets now.
Now you see what upset is.
Now we're upset. And are things going to probably work out somewhat similar to what Sam did? Probably, I would say. Maybe not super different. Maybe one more bad contract. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
I don't have any reason to believe Sam is a better drafter than Brian Colangelo. I don't know that he's not, and I don't know that he is.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. You can't be totally sure. He did. I mean, Andrea Bargnani. Sam didn't.
Sure.
Sam's never missed. Sam's never totally whiffed on something. Isn't that what you said earlier?
Yes, that's what I said. But now that I think about it,
you're thinking Jahlil?
That fatty that got in fights that caused all of this. If that fatty, let me tell you something.
Here you go. This is the rant. This is what you've been saving up for a
week. Well, no, if that dumbass hadn't gotten in two fights and all of that didn't happen, then Sam would still be here right now. I am sure of it. I'm sure of it, big doofus and his... All right.
The last four great centers on the Sixers, Andrew Bynum, gotten all the shit that he got into.
Yep.
Nerlens Noel.
Yep.
Apparently, we haven't talked about this yet, but he, you know.
I'm not bothered by that.
Shit all over a rental and spilled Gatorade everywhere, weed roaches. The death threat is weird. Well, if that's real, that's upsetting me. Let me keep going.
Okay. It's not even really a death threat.
That's intimidating at least.
Okay.
I wouldn't like it if a 7-foot millionaire send a gravestone to my house.
First of all, I think he probably had a bunch of friends living there is probably what happened. Second of all, $75,000 to clean up Gatorade stains.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Look, yeah. Let me run through the list.
Yeah.
Then go to Embiid where, you know,
there's a lot of stuff that we never even heard about.
Yeah, ballooning to however fat he was and not keeping himself in shape, whatever. Now he's in, you know, having to send him to Qatar to heal and be happy, and now he's back. And then Jaleel stuff. And that's 4 7-foot gentlemen who we put a lot of time and resources in.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just play small ball.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the answer. Small guys don't get in as much trouble. Look at TJ. No trouble.
Wait, who?
TJ.
Oh, I thought you said GJ. I was like, is this...
You perked up.
Bleeding Green Nation Radio? Is that that's what we're doing? We're doing a little GJ Kenny? All right. Can we do a jigsaw and go home? I have work tomorrow morning.
Okay. I have a flight tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Wait.
You get to sleep on your flight.
Do I? Yes. I don't know. I'll be thinking about this. About what I should have said. Wait, for the last time.
What?
My episode airs on Tuesday.
Oh, this Tuesday. Okay. Tuesday. The Grindr. Watch The Grindr. Tweet about it on Tuesday. Let's see that bump in the ratings.
I'm looking for 0.7.
0.7 from The Grindr.
Tuesday. 9:30 p.m. Fox.
Check your local listings.
Right after Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
We hope you'd watch it live, but if you don't watch it live, watch it within 48 hours or so.
Yeah.
I don't want to give them a week.
Yeah. Okay.
48 hours.
I'll take 48.
Watch The Grindr.
And... there's something in there.
Oh, really?
There's something in there.
Really? Are you just saying that so they watch it?
I don't know.
Okay. Everyone trying to discern. It's like trying to figure out Nirvana lyrics. I know what that means. All right.
Play.
I will play this game.
Game play.
I will play this game.
I miss you.
I will play this game.
I'm worried. Play.
I will play this game.
And after the game, they were interviewing him, and they said, how does it feel to win the ultimate game? And he said, if it's the ultimate game, why are they playing it again next year?
Ah, you never hear it.
I don't hear it anymore. Yeah. But I listen to the thing.
All right. I have two awful choices for you, Mike.
Okay.
You have two choices or you'll be killed. And actually... it's not just you being killed. Your whole family will be killed. You can't just take death.
Okay. So everyone killed is the third choice.
Eternal hellfire.
All right.
Choice one.
A lot riding on this.
After 1 hour on an exercise bike, as hard as he can, Jerry Colangelo steps off. You have to fully clean his undercarriage with your tongue.
Okay.
That is choice one.
Or... wait, I want to get Tanner on this. Tanner's got to be decided.
Tanner, you can grab a mic if you want. Just let me know which one it is. That one? That's three. Okay. All right. Choice two. Doug Collins.
Ooh.
Is on an exercise bike.
Slightly younger.
For 1 hour.
Uh-huh.
He steps off. You have to clean his undercarriage with your tongue.
Okay.
Whose undercarriage do you choose?
All right. Interesting. So Doug is what? Doug's like 60, early 60s?
Yeah, mid-60s maybe.
Okay.
I'd guess he's probably 67 or so.
I don't think he's that old. I think he's like 63. I think he's my dad's age.
Okay.
Actually. And I think he's in good shape.
Probably. Relatively.
So I'm thinking when he runs on this exercise bike, he's going hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see where you're going with
Grandpa
this.
Jerry...
not going hard.
Not going that hard. Okay. He's just looking for a little brisk walk. Trying to get the heart rate up.
Wow, I see where you're going.
I take Jerry's slightly sweaty rectum.
Wow! Tanner?
Oh, man, that's hard to follow up.
What do you got?
First off, hi, world. What's going on?
There it is.
He's wearing a hinky shirt.
I am wearing a hinky shirt.
From the first lottery party.
Only 75 or 50 of them. I can't remember how many.
I have to disagree with Mike on this one.
Yeah, me too.
My reasoning has nothing to do with the exercise bike.
Uh-huh.
Nothing to do with the actual sweat or moisture in the undercarriage.
Yeah.
It has to do with the fact that Grandpa Jerry has his undercarriage licked already by Sixers ownership. So
hey!
I gotta go with Doug on this one.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, they have to swap tongues with Josh Harris.
Yeah. All right.
Enough. We went.
Yeah.
That's the thing is that they turned heel.
Yeah.
And we turned face.
Yes.
We're back.
Yes. Yes.
We are, you know, the podcast, I think.
You turned heel for a night?
Well, no, I'm talking about with. We started and Hinky was here, right? We didn't.
Yes.
We talked on the radio.
Our first podcast was right before the draft.
Right. But we started like becoming friendly and having like our own like sort of.
Yes.
Like, the precursor to the podcast. Yes. When it was still like this organization sucks. Yeah. Everything's a nightmare. And now like we're back to that.
Yeah.
I think like we went like it's
back
almost
to our roots.
Yeah. It's like a 6-season TV show when like. The first season is this one thing, and then we like totally change, and then we come back and see like how everybody's changed. And I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to like really dig in on this team.
We're back. This is True Detective season one.
Yeah.
I think. I don't even know. I didn't like True Detective.
Oh, that's fine.
This is the leftover season. Wait. Our first thing was really leftover season one. It was dark. It was desolate.
Mm-hmm.
Then season two. I don't know.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, really? It's really good.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah. All right. This has been the Rice to Ricky Sanchez podcast brought to you by L.L. Pavorsky Jewelers at 707 Walnut, always at llpavorsky.com. Are you down with TTP? You got to say it to my face.
Do we still do it?
Yeah, that's our thing.
Is it still the thing?
Yes, always the thing.
All right. Yeah, you know, look face.
Like I said, hold your head, son, and don't take a second. Check it out now.